In our study of the names of God, we have seen that there is no rival to our God, for God, who is Elohim, is omnipotent, he is mighty, and he is strong. We have also understood that there is none like the Lord or Jehovah. And you and I truly have been blessed beyond measure, seeing that Jehovah has made himself known unto us. He is the very existent one, the ever existent one, holy and righteous, has graciously revealed to us his very name that we might know him by. God, Lord, Elohim, Jehovah are the two names that we have studied so far. Tonight we want to consider another name of God. It is the name by which he was known to the patriarchs, God Almighty, or El Shaddai in the Hebrew. I'm going to ask you to bow with me, then we're going to begin to look at this wonderful name, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Let's ask the Lord's blessing, though, upon our study tonight. Father, we do ask and pray that you'd bless tonight as we come to your word and as we consider yet another name of our God. We thank you tonight that you have revealed yourself to us in these ways. These wonderful truths that we need to see and know and believe. You are God, Elohim. You are Jehovah. And you are the God Almighty, El Shaddai. I pray tonight that you give us understanding of this wonderful name. Now, Lord, we would truly begin to live in light of such revelation as it's been given unto us. Well, thank you, Lord, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin tonight as we look at this third name of God, God Almighty or El Shaddai. And I want you to see with me the origin of the name. And then we're going to look at some of the occurrences of that name beginning in Genesis chapter 17. And by the way, Genesis 17 is the first time that we find this name of God in the scripture. You can look on your study sheet and you'll find these things. It says, the etymological understanding of the name El Shaddai is both very interesting and it is touching. We know from our study of the name Elohim or God that the word El is the root of that name, Elohim. Elohim is the plural. El is the singular. And at the very root of that name of God, we find that truth to be mighty or to be strong. But God also now reveals himself as the El Shaddai. And as the El Shaddai, he is first associating that he is now not only God, but he is God Almighty. And there is nothing that he cannot do. By the way, this is a beautiful name of God. I was blessed as I considered it again. That God is our El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. And there's some wonderful truths about him. We know that the word El reminds us that he is Almighty, that he is the Omnipotent One. There is nothing that he cannot do. Can I ask you a question tonight before we continue further? Do you believe that there is nothing God cannot do? Truly. Most of us go like this. Most of us should probably go like this. He can't sin. But you know, when it comes to our lives, there is nothing God cannot do for us. And yet what I find so often is that we don't really believe him to be the Almighty. If we did believe that he was the Almighty, we wouldn't be so fretful. We wouldn't be so filled with care. We would learn to take our burdens and lay them at his feet. Yet the reality is we fret, we worry, we don't trust. But he is the El. He is the one that is all powerful. He is the Almighty God. But there's another part to this name, and it's a beautiful part. He is the Shaddai. The word Shaddai is formed from the root word shad. And in the Hebrew, the word shad literally means breast. Invariably, when you come to the scripture in the Hebrew, that word shad is used to speak of the breast of a woman who nourishes her children. So what we find in this phrase is very simply that God is the El Shaddai, the Almighty Breasted One, if you want to give it a literal translation. It is God, and the picture there is given that it is God who, as the Shaddai, nourishes and supplies strength for His children. It's a beautiful thing the way God designed a mom to care for her little ones. God supplies through her all that that little child needs. She is a comfort to that child. She gives that child the nourishment. Through that nourishment, there is a calm. There is a quiet. There is a love that is expressed. And it's that concept that is coming through in the name El Shaddai. He is the one who nourishes or supplies strength. Yet we can also understand that it is God who satisfies the need of His children, and as such quiets and gives them rest. God, who is the Almighty, there is nothing He cannot do. There is no rival to our God. It is He who supplies, who gives us strength, who nourishes our spirit, who through that gives to us comfort and brings about quiet. That's why the psalmist could say to us in Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Because the psalmist has learned that God is our El Shaddai. And what a beautiful picture is given to us in that name, God Almighty. The only shame to that in your English version that it says God Almighty is that it really should probably read God All Sufficient. Because El tells us that He is God, and God tells us that He is the Almighty. But the word Shaddai really has the idea of being the all-sufficient one, the one who nourishes, the one who gives us strength. El Shaddai is the mighty one who is able to nourish, supply, and satisfy. Nathan Stone, in his classic work on the names of God, said, "It is God as El who helps, but it is God as Shaddai who abundantly blesses with all manner of blessings and the blessings of the breast." He is our El Shaddai. He has the power to do all things within your life, and He is able to supply for your every need. Nothing is out from His care or control. There is nothing He cannot do for you. There is nothing He cannot do for your family. Folks, when we come with our prayer list and we lay them before the Lord, we are bringing it to the God Almighty. When you wake up in the morning and you begin to go before the Lord in your time of devotion and you're seeking that spiritual refreshment, that nourishment, you get that from El Shaddai. He cares for your soul. He cares to give you that which you need that you might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He longs to nourish and to help. That's the origin of this word. But I want you to see some occurrences of it, because we learned a few more things about God who is our El Shaddai, and I think they're beautiful to consider. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Look at verse 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am the El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. The origin of the name reveals to us that El Shaddai enriches the life. But the occurrences of this name teach us that El Shaddai makes us fruitful. He makes us fruitful. The first occurrence of this name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, is found right here, Genesis chapter 17, and it's in connection with God's covenant with Abraham. We could turn back tonight and begin to look at that covenant. It was first made in Genesis chapter 12. There God came to Abraham, Abram, and he said unto him, I will make of thee a great nation. And through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. But I will make of you, Abram, a great nation. And from that nation, all other nations will be blessed. Time has now elapsed. And God has made his promise. But because Abram and Sarai don't necessarily see the hand of God moving as he said, they devise their own plan. Abraham and Sarai are well stricken in years, and yet they have no children. Therefore, they take matters into their hand instead of trusting God. They devise their own plan. 13 years, when we come to chapter 17, has now passed since the birth of Ishmael. You'll remember that Sarah said, you know, God had promised to make of you a great nation, and I can't have children. Here is my handmaid Hagar. Take her and under her have a son. And Ishmael was born. 13 years have now elapsed when we come to chapter 17. And God now comes to Abram again, and he says, I want to renew with you my covenant. From you I will make a great nation. Abraham is now 99 years of age and Sarah is 89. No one is thinking they are going to have a child, a son. And God comes and reveals himself for the first time as the El Shaddai, the one who is able to make them fruitful. And the one that is able to give them a child. God, in this confirmation of his covenant, changes both their names to Abraham and to Sarah. You'll remember that in this, both Abraham and Sarah laugh. Lord, how is it that you're going to produce from us a child? But folks, I believe God was teaching us a wonderful lesson. That when we are dead in and of ourselves, as a matter of fact, Hebrews would say to them that their bodies being yet dead, God made life. God is able, as the El Shaddai, to make us fruitful. He is able to do that which is humanly impossible. As the Almighty God, the El Shaddai, he is able to take those bodies dead and give to them and make through them life. He is able to satisfy the promise of his covenant and cause Sarah to bear a son. It is the El Shaddai who makes us fruitful, even when we think things around us are simply just barren. But God in that moment, in that time, reveals himself to Abraham as the El Shaddai. He who is almighty, He who is able to satisfy, he who is able to nourish and to supply. And he desired that that's how Abraham would know him by. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The name most likely connected to them is this name, the El Shaddai, the God Almighty. He is able to make us fruitful. There's another concept, though, that I want you to see. And that is found in the life of Job. In the book of Job, the name God Almighty, or the Almighty God, is used 31 times. The life of Job is one that illustrates well for us the idea of the chastening of the Lord. You and I know the story of Job well. Why did God chasten Job? Did God chasten Job because there was some terrible sin within his life? God said of him, he's a perfect, he's an upright man. By the way, that reminds us, does it not, that God's chastening doesn't always mean that there's a problem with sin. Sometimes it does. But sometimes God is doing it that he might purify us, that he might allow us then to be more fruitful. God was purifying Job's life unto greater fruitfulness. God was able to hold up Job even before Satan and say, there is none like him on the face of the earth. None were upright, none were perfect. And yet God knew there were still things that needed to be changed in Job's life. I want you to take your Bible and go to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. I marvel when I read the life of Job. I marvel when I come to chapter 1 and I read Job's response, when I understand from my vantage point what's going on. Because you and I in Job chapter 1 have the wonderful blessing and privilege that God will pull back for us in essence the very curtain of heaven and allow us to see the spiritual realm which we rarely see and know. And we understood that behind the scenes there was a battle for Job's life. By the way, Job did not see that. That was hidden from Job. Just like in your trials and in your tests, those things are hidden from you. But God was bringing something into Job's life because God wanted to purify him under greater fruitfulness. Look at chapter 5 and look at verse 17. We find these words, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Don't despise the chastening of the El Shaddai. "For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7. There shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring as the grass of the earth." We're told in Job chapter 5 to despise not the chastening of the Almighty. God, who is the El Shaddai, will bring to us those things and chasten that we might be purged for greater fruitfulness. It was the El Shaddai that would come to Abraham and say, I will make for thee, Sarah, and you, Abraham, I will make you fruitful when that seems impossible. Things may seem hard for you, but I am the El Shaddai. I am able to supply for your every need. I am able to satisfy every longing of your soul because I have the might and power. I am omnipotent. But it's also the El Shaddai who now comes, who is able to make us fruitful. He is able to make us even more fruitful through chastening. Therefore, we're told to despise not his chastening. God chastened Job, who was upright, because there was still a need for Job to come to the very end of himself so that God Almighty, the El Shaddai, could more effectively use him to produce greater fruitfulness. Turn now, if you would, to John chapter 15. I think there's a wonderful connection in the scriptures here. John chapter 15. The Lord Jesus here speaking says, I am the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. In John chapter 15, we're commanded as a believer to abide in the vine. You and I will never be fruitful as a Christian apart from Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. That means, folks, you and I are really never going to accomplish anything for the Lord apart from Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. The ministry of First Baptist Church really can't be done apart from Jesus Christ. It can't be run on the wisdom of men. It can't be run in our skill sets or in our ability to give and to meet needs. Whatever it might be, it's not done by us. It must be done by God. You and I don't save a soul. I can witness and I can spread the seed of the gospel. But I cannot make that seed die and bear fruit. Only God can do that. And only the Spirit of God does that in a life. I cannot convince a person how they ought to live spiritually, even though they're now saved. I cannot make people make the right choices. I cannot make people come to church instead of staying at home. I cannot make people serve in the local church instead of just sitting in a pew. I can't do that in my own. I can preach and I can teach and I can share God's truth, but it is the Spirit of God that works in the heart that makes a difference. Nothing is done apart from Christ. He's the vine, we are the branches. How do we bear more fruit? It's not by abiding longer. Abiding is abiding. How do you bear more fruit? What's verse 2 say? Those of you that are husbandmen and know something about a garden, how do you get more fruit? Pruning. You prune it. You purge. You know what I find an interesting connection? It's the El Shaddai of the old that purges, that Job might bear more fruit. He who is God Almighty. And it is God who purges us in the vine. What a wonderful connection. God desires that we bear fruit. God, the El Shaddai, purges that we might bring forth more fruit. Should we despise such chastity? Certainly not. Yet you know what we find in Christian circles today? A despising of such things. We really do. People will come out the back of a service, and a lot of times folks will have the nice things to say, but you know, sometimes you hear, "Boy, I wish there wasn't so much preaching and all these things that always make me feel convicted. That really bothers me." Bless your soul, it bothers me too. It really does. How many of you enjoy being convicted by the Holy Spirit? Me either. Now, sometimes I have people suggest to me, "Pastor, maybe you shouldn't preach on things like that so people won't be convicted, because then people won't come back to church." We got it backwards. It's a good thing, folks, when the Spirit of God reaches down and says, "You know what? I need to cut that out of your life. You know why He wants to take it? So you can bear more fruit. So you can be more productive for Him." Think about what happened in Job's life. He lost what? Everything. All he was left with, and it wasn't much, was a bitter, grumpy old wife. "Lord, why couldn't you take it her too?" It had to be his prayer somewhere along the line. "If not her, then me. Because this just doesn't seem right." And God taught Job lesson upon lesson upon lesson, till we come to the end of the book and Job realizes that there is nothing left in and of himself. And he needed to trust and rest in the El Shaddai, the God Almighty. And where do we find Job at the end? Blessed how many fold? Twofold. He doubled his children. He doubled all of his possessions. Go check out the numbers. He produced twice as much as before. God blessed through the purging. Job was more upright at the end than he was at the beginning. The El Shaddai of the Word of God is the God who nourishes, the God who satisfies, the God who supplies, the God who brings a calm and a comfort and a quiet, because He is able to do all things. There's nothing He cannot do in your life or mine. There is no life in this church that He cannot change. There is no soul in this community that He cannot save. There is nothing He cannot do if we'll but learn to trust Him. And we'll but learn to rest in Him as the El Shaddai. You know, when a child cries and a mother scoops him up and she feeds and nourishes him, every need is met. I've always marveled with our kids sometimes. They get in such a hysterical fit. Then the mom tries to feed and all they do is cry. And you just want to say to them, although they don't get it, "If you would just shut up and start eating, it'll be okay." And they cry and they cry and they cry and they cry. And it's like, you're making it worse. You know what we do sometimes as a Christian? We do just that. Here before us is the El Shaddai. He'll supply, He'll nourish, He'll strengthen, He'll help. He'll bring a calm and a peace. He'll put you at rest. And we fuss and we fume and we run and we fret and we talk to everybody else. We pray, but we really don't mean it. Because as soon as we say amen, we take it back and we run around with it again. We have an El Shaddai, God Almighty. He's able to do all things. And He cares to do those things for you. Even when things seem to be hard, understand it is He, God Almighty, that is working in your life. And that which He begun in you, He will perform to the day of Jesus Christ. He'll conform you to the image of Christ. What a wonderful truth. I love that thought. I'm so thankful God revealed Himself to us as the Almighty God. So again, I ask you tonight, is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's something He just can't do in your life? There's nothing He can't do. Do you believe He's got your best interest in mind? He really does. God cares for you. He cares for me. By the way, He does it a whole lot better than we care for one another. We imperfectly care about one another. We imperfectly pray for one another. We imperfectly support one another and nourish one another. He perfectly. God Almighty. I marvel at such a revelation. I marvel at such a God who would be that for us. He made you and me that we might know Him. Not just as the Omnipotent One. I'm glad for that. And not just as Jehovah. I'm glad for that one too. But He's the Mighty One who'll nourish and supply and satisfy every need. That's why we're told, abide in Him and we'll bring forth fruit. We have a wonderful God in whom we serve. Let's not forget the God that is El Shaddai. He is able to do all things, and He'll supply for every need. He'll satisfy every longing of our soul. He longs to use us to make us more fruitful for His glory. Shall we pray?